Hi, welcome to 66 Days, the podcast. 66 being the average number of days it takes to make a behavior automatic. At 66 Days, we believe that you can make fitness a habit, and that means letting your subconscious do all the heavy lifting. Each episode, we'll be diving into one of many topics revolving around fitness, nutrition, recovery, habits, and subconscious reprogramming. If you're new to this podcast, we're stoked to have you. And we highly recommend that you check out our previous episodes to learn more about habits and fitness. For our subscribers and regular visitors, thanks so much for sticking with us and helping make this podcast more awesome each week. If you enjoy what you hear, definitely like, rate, subscribe, and share this with friends and family to help more people learn about how they too can make fitness a habit. I'm your host, Aviel Mosadia, and today we'll be taking a look at identifying your cues and methods to help you find what might be triggering your habits. You're listening to 66 Days, the podcast. The first step to solving a problem is recognizing that there is one. We've all heard this quote, this famous one by Will McAvoy. The difficult part about identifying our habit loops is that they're mostly subconscious and invisible to us since they happen in the background. For all you morning coffee drinkers, you don't consciously think about what made you go and brew a coffee before you started your day. Hell, you might have only thought about this for the first time after hearing these words right now. What was the cue? Was it the urge to feel energized at the start of a day? Was it because you associated coffee with work? Was it because the time showed 8 a.m.? Was it because you thought that the commute to work, you thought about the commute to work and you wanted to stay awake? Was it because you got an email? How would you know? How do you even start to look for something that you can't see consciously, especially when there's so many triggers? It sounds like a problem with too many unknowns. Well, step one is becoming aware of everything that you do. You get into the micro of all your actions, and once you get good at that, you can start to look at possible cues that drive those actions. Psychologists around the world have found 5 different categories of habitual cues that often trigger our habit loops, which, if you don't remember by the way, is cue, craving, response, and reward. These triggers are location, time, emotional state or mood, people around you, and preceding events. We'll be taking a look at the first 3 triggers in this episode. When we're really caught up in life and feel like there's just no time to wind down, it seems hard to think about how you can start becoming more present. As we learn about just how crucial this is to initiating positive change in our life, you can probably see why meditation and mindfulness is popping right now around the world. It's almost like putting your life in slow motion for a brief moment of time just to see what's up. And while meditation is definitely something that we'll be tapping into in future episodes, today we'll be focusing on one awesome tactic that you can start using right now. And that is the pointing and calling method. It's used as a protocol in many occupational safety standards around the world to avoid mistakes by pointing at important indicators and calling out the status. It's really common in Japan in the railway business, where workers would make large gestures and speak out statuses of trains to ensure everything was good to go. And it works incredibly well because it helps people keep focus and attention constantly. In fact, a lot of other companies around the world are adapting to this technique, resulting in big reductions in workplace injuries. This can be applied just as well on us too. Remember how we mentioned in previous episodes that a lot of unconscious habits are brought to our attention by people pointing them out? Well, when you can do this to yourself by actively pointing out everything that you do at every conscious moment, your brain will start to pay more attention to these things over time. And when I say everything, I really mean the small, mundane, routine stuff. When you wake up, pause, and say, "I'm waking up." When you get off the bed and you look to see what side of the bed you step off, tell yourself, "I'm stepping off on the left side." When you're eating breakfast, point and call exactly what you're doing. I'm walking to the kitchen, I see a cookie, I also see some fruits, but I choose to eat the cookie. And this is a bad decision because it doesn't align with my identity as an athlete. I'm going to stop doing this. Now, this may have been something that you've been doing unconsciously as you prepare for work every morning, but now you can see it like you're watching yourself in third person. Honestly, this might feel really weird doing, narrating your entire move and every action in your life, and you might look really weird audibly saying everything that you do. But at the end of the day, what you're accomplishing is that you're becoming aware, and that is priceless. When you get the hang of this, things will become more clear and you can start to look at some of the triggers to bad routines that you want to change. So let's start with location or your environment. If you ever walked into the office kitchen and you saw a plate of fresh donuts and you ate them just because they're in front of you, you can understand the power of location. This is the most dangerous trigger because it's the least recognized trigger and it's also the most impactful trigger for mindless habits. So say, for example, you're trying to get in the habit of hitting the gym or working out right when you come home from work. So you pick out your gym clothes and you lay it on your bed just before leaving the house in the morning. When you come home from work and the first thing you do is come to your room and see your bed, you're probably going to want to crash for a bit because you've associated your bed with sleeping. One thing leads to another and now it's just too late to go to the gym. One theory suggests that we mentally assign habits to a particular location, so places that you're familiar with have these routines assigned to them. Building new habits in these familiar locations can be difficult because you have to overcome these cues that are already assigned there. So a possible solution to this gym habit would be to move the clothes to, say, the bathroom, or a place in your house that doesn't have too many behavioral associations with it, and then make it a routine to go to that spot first, right after work. But if you can't change the location completely, another powerful method to this is to change your environment entirely. Make all the things that could possibly derail your good habits and make them invisible or extremely hard to reach. So make the resistance to all those bad habit cues really high. For example, you can put all your junk food and snacks on the topmost shelf and completely out of reach. Or if you're the kind of guy that likes to watch TV, put the TV remote by the couch in a completely different room, far away. And then replace all these empty spaces now, or all those places where the cue used to be, with visual cues to good habits. So, for example, if you're going to move the junk food away, put your pre-workout front and center. Or have your running shoes and gym bag right by the door. Or put a note in your bathroom mirror asking how your gym session was. So it's constantly reminding you what you need to do. These will fuel you and make the routine that comes after so much easier. The second cue is timing. A lot of our routines are associated with the time of day. When you wake up, when it's 9 a.m. at work, when it's 6 p.m. for dinner, when the sun sets, or after your afternoon meeting, and etc. And each of these time segments create a cascade of habits to follow. Our brains like schedules because we can anticipate what's to come. Which is why scheduling gym sessions into your calendar is powerful because it represents a meeting that you can't miss. There are also routines that you do multiple times throughout the day, like snacking or grabbing water or pulling out your phone and scrolling endlessly that may be everything to do with how you feel instead, which ties into the third kind of cue. This is definitely a more important concept because how you feel is a big motivator for the actions that you do afterwards. Feelings can trigger the need for a change of state and make you engage in a habit without you really knowing. When you need to go to the gym and you're lying on your bed, for example, it feels like a lot, so you tell yourself 5 more minutes and then you check Instagram. And that action just makes you want to do other things like just lie there and pass out. But when you become aware of your feeling, and you're conscious of the task that you need to complete in that moment, you'll be more inclined to ask yourself if the two align. In this scenario, the best thing to do would probably be to point out and call out that you're being lazy, and then just roll off your bed and start walking to get you into that momentum. Alternatively, you could start scheduling your gym sessions around a time of day where you're less inclined to feel lazy or tired, and that would decrease the resistance to following through with the proper routine. With a handful of these tools at your disposal, you can start to become more aware of your daily actions and start to look for cues in your habits. You know yourself better than anyone out there, and you can start to question why you do certain things once you start to see them. To sum it all up, start by pointing and calling everything that you do for a week and quickly jot down the patterns that you see. You'll be surprised to see just how much your brain has been performing subconsciously. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week to talk about willpower, motivation, and the power of momentum. Also, if you like the music that you heard on this podcast, definitely check out musicbed.com for more. Make sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're hearing this right now. This is 66 Days, the podcast.